It makes sense for Rashford because he obviously will move away from Manchester, who's becoming a toxic environment for him, and he will be a step up.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Plenty of Premier League last night at St James's Park. I'll do my Alan Lambourne here. Newcastle United 3, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0. Alexander Isak with 2 more goals. That's 16 goals in as many games and 17 overall, which goes to show, Arthur, that in that latter stat there, that he actually started the season a bit like Newcastle, not too convincingly, fairly average. And then all of a sudden, this guy is probably pound for pound the best striker in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, again.
Name me a better striker today, than Alexander Isak, sure, was the question.
Erling Haaland.
Right now.
What does right now mean?
What
right today? Like, what today? Like,
right now, today. At 7:48 and 48 seconds,
yeah.
Arthur.
Take the last day of your life, man. Do you know what I mean? Live in the moment. Yeah. Like, right now, you're taking Isak over Haaland, aren't you?
No, of course not.
What do you mean, of course not? Look at the boy's stats. He scored last night.
For the last what? For the last few weeks?
I said right now. The question is right now. I'm not talking about overall. I'm not talking about this is your life. Like,
you're asking who would I sign?
Right now.
I'm not signing for right now. I'm signing for 5 years down the line.
You've got to think about now, you know.
Haaland, no question, obviously.
Don't worry. There's a lot of positive PR coming for you in a second. Don't worry about that, which your manager takes. Elsewhere, last night, Leicester City 0, Crystal Palace 2.
Your boy.
And at Goodison, I was a bit sad about this actually. Everton 0, Aston Villa 1. Ollie Watkins with the goal. It was actually a lovely goal. I don't know if you saw it. Morgan Rogers through ball was fantastic. He's sensational. Villa are class. But David Moyes back after, what was it, 12 years away, or 11 and a half basically. Not a great start for him. Look, we'll start with the North London derby. So Arsenal 2, Tottenham 1. Back of the Guardian here. Trossard clinches derby and keeps title bid alive. So Spurs took the lead through Son. And then there was an equaliser to Gabriel, who was unbelievable at the back. That tackle he made from Jed Spence's outside the right foot cross, which was sensational in itself. Unbelievable. But the goal has actually been credited to Dominic Solanke's own goal.
I saw that,
quite harsh enough, because I thought it was like basically Gabriel did all the work for it. I thought he should get it. And then Trossard gets the winner, his first North London derby goal, his first goal in ages as well in the 44th minute. Kathleen, are you concerned about Arsenal still? You were... past tense, a fan of Mikel Arteta. Where are you now?
I'm not chucking him out the door just yet, but I do think this transfer window is relatively crucial to the next couple of months and how Arsenal finish out the season. I mean, the loss against United at the weekend was absolutely diabolical to watch, in that it just felt like...
You bottled it, didn't you?
Oh, completely.
You had a man extra.
Yeah,
no reason not to beat this United team.
I mean, there was just the amount of opportunities and the lack of someone there that could finish them. Like, what was the XG at the end? I don't know, actually, take what you want from it.
3.5.
It was 3.5. And they should have scored at least 3 goals. You know, it was really, really frustrating to watch. It was the same against Newcastle, where you have these players that pull out these brilliant moments, but none of them involve sticking a ball in the back of the net. And I was just, you were talking about Isak there, thinking back to a couple of seasons
ago.
Who
would you take, Isak or Haaland?
Tell me the truth now.
Don't be swayed by the producer in the corner.
On form this season and the way I think he would integrate into the team, Isak.
Oh, yeah. That's an independent thinker right there. That's saying what you see.
And like, look, you can't deny Haaland's talents at all.
Wouldn't mind, but Haaland still has one more goal in this season.
That's right now, right now.
But I know it's more, I just think that Isak, as a temperament and stuff, would like fit better into the Arsenal squad as it is.
Haaland's won nothing.
Sure, look, if we took either of them, I would be obviously,
flat,
if both of them were presented to me on a plate, I would just close my eyes probably and be like,
okay,
yeah, I'll take that
indiscriminately
one.
Pick a world-class striker for yourself.
But I was thinking back to like a couple of seasons ago where Arsenal were going to make a move for Isak, where he was good, but he wasn't like how he is this season. And I'm like, imagine if we'd done that. Imagine we signed him rather than Havertz, and like where they could potentially be now.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of someone who can actually just stick the ball in the net.
It's a strange kind of stubbornness that Arteta's showing, isn't it? Persevering with what he has.
My thing with Arteta is I've been kind of worried since the start of this season, because I think he got a bit too highfalutin about some of his methods of motivating this team. Everything from the pickpockets to the dog to, you know.
See, I think if you're winning titles and people are like, what a genius. Like, that's so result dependent.
Yeah, if you're winning titles, but they're not winning titles. They're mentally frail. But they're mentally frail. They've gone downhill, I think, this season compared to previous seasons. This was the season. City were like the dog on his, monkey on his back? Not the dog on his back.
Any animal you want on your
back. Yeah, whatever. And he wasn't able to get over that. He wasn't able to get over the, I think he has some sort of, Guardiola is on a pedestal in front of him from his time there still. And this is the season where the opportunity was there. It was an opportunity to like release all the shackles. City were destroying themselves. You didn't even have to think about them. And now our biggest competitors are Liverpool and Forest. You know, that I shouldn't be sitting here being like, I don't think they can score some goals in the second half of the season to be competitive enough.
John, what's happening at Spurs? What's going on? We debated at the top of the show. I don't know if you're aware of Arthur O'Dea, our on-air producer's take on the Spurs situation. He'd be anti-Ange. You're a questionable Daniel Levy Spurs fan, right?
Well, I need to get an exact figure in my head. I think it's been 12 managers that have been come and gone under Daniel Levy since Enoch took over the running of the club from Alan Sugar in 2001. So Tottenham have, according to Forbes magazine, the eighth biggest value in world football. The people who run the club, the board, Daniel Levy, have done an amazing job with the business. Incredible job. They bought it for a song. They bought it for nothing off Alan Sugar in 2001. Club is now worth like in the billions. Best stadium in possibly world football. Great training ground. Everything from a business point of view. Match day revenue is good. But ultimately, what is Tottenham Hotspur, or what is anything supposed to be if you're watching football? It's about football. It's about winning matches, it's about playing in an entertaining way, and it's about winning trophies and winning silverware or contending for that on a regular basis. And to be fair to Tottenham under Daniel Levy, his stewardship, they got to that position by hiring a manager in Mauricio Pochettino that was able to get the club to punch above its weight significantly based on where the wage bill was to turnover. And in 2016-17, that season, they were unbeaten at home and they got 86 points in the Premier League, which would normally be enough to win any Premier League season. But Chelsea were just a bit better that season. Then they reached the Champions League final. Then they sacked him. Maybe it was a gamble to think that Mourinho and Conte would be even better and bring them to another place, but it's just gone the other way. Yeah. And when you've got 18-year-olds like Archie Gray and Lucas Bergvall in a team last night, and they're players of the future, and you have, unfortunately for Ange, you've got a huge amount of injuries, pretty much your goalkeeper, your back four. I know Paro played last night, but I just feel that we're in this constant cycle of somebody got sacked, get somebody in, somebody got sacked, get somebody in. They've won one trophy in 23 years. And ultimately, as a Tottenham fan since 1986, and I went to my first game in 1988, I feel like I can speak about it because Irving Scholar was the chairperson at the time. What is a football fan supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about feeling that you have an investment in the club, that something can actually change, if you want to articulate that. And for a lot of Tottenham fans, we feel like we're outside the window looking in and nobody can hear us, in that nothing is going to change at Tottenham because it's all about profit and it's all about NFL games and go-karting and concerts and all these things. And as well as the business is run, the football side of the business has not been run to the same level as the commercial side of the business. And if Daniel Levy wants to stay at the club, in my view, I think they need to separate the two and get somebody in there who knows how to run a football club to a position where they can punch above, whether it's a Brighton style or look what Eddie Howe's done at Newcastle or these kind of things. Or they try to get equity into the club, or they sell the club.
Right. Because
it just feels to me like, you know, everything should have a shelf life in life, right? Everything should have a shelf life and everything should be run a certain way. And I don't know if it was Liverpool. It felt for me when Hicks and Gillette were at Liverpool that the fans revolted. It felt with the Cronkies, the fans revolted at Arsenal. For six seasons in a row from 16-17, Tottenham were better off at the end of the season than Arsenal were. Mm-hmm. Now there's a 19-point gulf. It's second and 13th. And they're in the same area of London. I know Tottenham had to build a new stadium and I can understand why they didn't obviously spend money on players at the time, but then they sacked the manager that brought them to all that success. And ultimately, as Miguel Delaney will always point out, there's a huge correlation between the wage bill and success. And Tottenham's wage bill is seventh in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Versus a club that's valued eighth in the world. So what's Tottenham Hotspur supposed to be? Is it just an entertainment business with football as a side thing, or should be at a football club? And if you're a supporter, it's very hard not to just chuck it in and say, you know what, I've had enough of this, because the essence of belonging in your mind as being a football fan is to feel that there is a potential that the club's, I suppose, compass is in the direction of football success first, as opposed to just naked profit.